You are listening to An Awful Lot of Running, a Doctor Who podcast. Hello, and welcome to An Awful Lot of Running, a Doctor Who podcast. Oh, that's where I usually have a woo from Robin. Oh, that's nice. I'll take that. That's nice. There we go. Yet again, I'm missing my tin dog or the Yasmin Khan to my 13th Doctor. Robin is on holiday having a lovely time, but I've roped in someone to come and join me today, who I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking to. My guest tonight is an actor, a voice actor, a writer, a TikToker. I originally came across my guest tonight by being on TikTok, which, let's face it, as a 32-year-old man, I have no business doing because stuff just flies by me. But then one day I came across an amazing 13th Doctor cosplayer, and I was watching these videos. They were great. And then she started speaking. I went, is she lip-syncing along? Is that... No, those aren't lines from an episode I remember. Oh my God, she's an impressionist as well. She's amazing. And having followed quite a few quite amazing 13th Doctor TikTokers as well, I was very, very excited. And then one day, we seem to have found each other on Twitter, as it seems to happen, the hellscape as it is anyway, and started chatting and sort of became mutual friends. And then it really came to a head one day when my wife sent me a video on TikTok. As she done, oh, you need to check this woman out. She's amazing. She's a really great 13th Doctor cosplayer. And I literally text back, yeah, I know her. She's my friend. My guest tonight is the amazing, the fantastic, the utterly brilliant Little Ori. How you doing?
Hiya.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Sorry, I was like beforehand, I was like, don't poke her with the stick. Don't be like, do the voice. Which I really had. We had Jack Reeves on before. We had Jack Reeves on a bunch. And I'm like, don't, because he does such a great 10th Doctor and such a great 11th yeah. Doctor as well. I'm just like, don't poke the bear with a stick. Don't, like, come on, don't be like Dance Monkey Dance. Don't. But you went to it straight away. Thank you. How are you tonight? How are you today?
I am good. Very good.
Well, I tell you, it's a bit of a day, isn't it, in terms of Doctor Who stuff?
Yeah, definitely. A lot.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm just at a loss, I am, because I'm just... It seems to be like, you know, we'll go a few days or a couple of weeks without anything, and then we'll just have, like, the floodgates open, and then suddenly we'll have all this new content and all this new stuff to be excited. I mean, I'm saying this right now when we've literally just had yesterday, today, Jinx Monsoon's amazing costume revealed, and then today probably the best companion and doctor look I've ever seen in the show. Oh my God. Yeah, I suppose my first question to you, Ori, is before we get into the proper interview questions, what have you, is where were you and what were you doing when you saw the pictures of Shuti Gatwa and Millie Gibson today?
I was on the bus home. That was not very exciting. One of my friends sent it to me and I was like, oh my God, it's brilliant. It's very 60s, it's very camp, and it's exactly what I wanted the whole series to be.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Based on the logo and all of that stuff. I just wanted it to match the logo, and it looks like they're going full on vintagey 60s camp.
I
love it.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I want that. I think Doctor Who is best when it's a bit camp. You know, I'm a big Doctor Who in the 80s defender, and it goes so camp, but it is so brilliant as well, and it's so much fun. I think I'm just at the age where the more silly and more camp and more and just fantastical Doctor Who is, I'm just like, I'm there for it.
Yeah, like when people say some of the moments are really silly, and it's like, but that's what Doctor Who is. Yeah. Like, I remember during Capaldi's era, everybody went bonkers over the sonic sunglasses. They were like, that's so stupid, oh my god. And it's like, are we watching the same show here? It's always been stupid. That's the good part about it, is it never takes itself seriously. And it's, you know, we need more shows that don't take themselves seriously.
Absolutely. I mean, even when it's being serious, it's still not taking it. There's still that air of it not taking itself seriously, because you'll still have the Doctor making a quip somewhere, or you know, it's I completely agree with that.
Everyone's dead. Knock knock. Who's there?
It's the Master. Oh wait, no, it's not.
He's dead. He's alive again. He's dead. He's alive again.
Oh, I'm one of those people that are like, you know, sometimes I'm like, maybe they should retire the Master, and then instantly Kat is knocking on my door, being like, Jack, I will kill you. Catherine Wheeler, friend of the show. I tell you what, Ori, I'll get into the traditional questions now, as it were, as I do things. I got some questions myself, and then I've had a whole bunch of lovely ones from the hellscape that is Twitter for you as well.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. There are some lovely ones there as well, which is always nice. Okay, so first things first, I ask everyone this because I feel it's something which everyone loves to know about people. It's, Ori, how did you come to Doctor Who? What is your Doctor Who secret origin, as I like to call it?
I wish it was more exciting than it is. There's a lot, like, so my granddad's a huge fan. And so, you know, he would watch the classic episodes a lot. So we used to watch a couple of them. But that was when we were very, very young. So don't have much memory of anything. And then the first episode I remember watching was Runaway Bride. And I was very young, about 6 or 7, I think. I can't remember exactly when it came out. And it was terrified me. And it was like, I'm never watching this show again. What is that? That is terrifying. Nightmares for weeks. That giant red spider haunted my dreams. Which was the same nightmares. And then fast forward to 2013, Bells of St. John. At least I think that's what it's called anyway. And it was just on telly. It was just something to do. So I was like, oh, Doctor Who, yeah, why not? I haven't seen that in a while. And I watched it and I really liked it. And between that episode and the next episode, I went back and watched as much as I could in a week. And then much as I could the next week, binged it until I finished it all. Well, a new Who. Although I'm starting on Classic too, so.
it's always nice when people are taking their first steps into Classic Who. Robin, bless him, is sort of just doing it story by story. I send him for his birthday and for Christmas like the odd random ones. So I've done some of the classics. I think I've done like Earthshock, I sent him, which he loved, Power of the Daleks, things like that. And yeah, it's interesting because I mean obviously with each new era it's a different show. It completely reinvents himself.
Yeah.
And no other TV show is like it, but it's quite lovely to send him these like cute little stories from the 60s and 70s where it's like the Doctor is fucking useless in this one. But just it's just yeah, you know, and the question is, did he really come out on top? Did he really mean to win? But yeah, it's quite fun. How far have you delved into Classic Who then? I know you said your granddad's a big fan, but
not very far. I've seen the first 3 episodes of Hartnell's, and then I've seen 2 episodes of Tom Baker's. So not very far at all, but it's a start. I'm trying.
It is a start. It is a start, yeah. I was thinking, oh, okay, so Unearthly Child Part 1, and then, oh, Part 2. Oh.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I'll be honest, and sometimes I'm like, I'm surprised we got past an earthly child. You know, thank God we get to the Daleks after that, but my God.
Yeah.
It's like the first episode is this amazing, just sheer, like, the Doctor is like an old wizard, basically, and you're like, what is happening here? And then it's three episodes of just shouting cavemen and just, oh, come on. And then Tom Baker, is it Robot you started with, or...?
No, it was like thank halfway God. Through, I
think. Thank God.
Something. Thank... I know the name. Planet of Evil. Planet of Bad. Planet of the Bad Boys.
I'm not gonna lie. Planet of the Bad Boys sounds amazing. And I'm sure that Nick Bridgster listens to this podcast. I know he's just snapped that up. I don't know he listens to it really, but he's just snapped that up for a story he has. And if he hasn't, Rassilon Productions has.
And then the one after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pyramids of Mars. That was good.
I was worried then for a second. I was like, what's going to come out of Ori's mouth now? Is it going to be pyramids of what?
pyramids of Jupiter.
Oh, and then it's a completely different story again. Okay, great. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, lovely. I love that. I always love hearing people's origins because everyone has a different one. And it's always nice to hear, especially when, my God, like, that binge must have been incredible. Just
yeah. It was like the school holidays, I think. So I just had no better to do than just binge Doctor Who for a whole week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. Before dependents and mortgages and things like that. God, yeah. It does hurt me to think that you were six when Runaway Bride came out. But this is a this is a constant problem I have with this podcast. And when I talk to friends on Twitter, I realise, oh, I'm like Steve Buscemi. How do you do, fellow kids? That's me. Oh well, never mind. Okay, next question. So if this feels like a very redundant question. But it's one that I have to ask just because it's lovely to talk about and give that space to talk about it. Ori, who's your favourite Doctor?
All of them.
Oh, yes, base.
All of
them. Best answer.
I will not choose. And I get asked to choose and it's like, yeah, but if you just had to choose one, and it's like, I would not choose. I would have whatever the consequence is rather than choosing my favourite Doctor. I love all of them. They all bring something special. It just happens that I look a bit like 13. So, you know, and she's the one I've got the most stuff
on. And sound as well, yeah.
Yeah, and sound a little bit like, just a little bit.
Ah! Sorry, it's just every time I'm like, oh my God, it's Jodie Whittaker. It's so cool. And as someone who is just... who has quite an annoying voice anyway and can't do voices myself, whenever someone else can do them, I'm just it's my inaudible sort of reaction to it. It's just that's so cool. It is cool. How did you learn that you could do that? I mean, I'm
the 13 one specifically.
Yes, 13. I'm going to get to others. Believe me, yeah. I'm getting to others. Yes. Oh my goodness.
So I just started making random videos. It was like my first or second ever TikTok video where I wasn't trying to do the accent. I was just doing my usual Northern accent. And Katie Haynes
found
me at like video two. Like that's how long we've known each other. She has known me since the beginning and has been hyping me up ever since the beginning. And she was commenting, oh my God, you're amazing. You sound just like her. And I was like, do I now? And so then I was like trying to get it closer and closer and closer just to impress Katie. And yeah. And then we've got where we are today.
And now you have your inboxes, I imagine, full of audio producers for that. And I mean... I'm going to talk about it now. You put a video up on Twitter.
Yeah,
it was. I saw, and it was you doing 13, but then also doing Amy Pond. Doing,
yes, it was.
Sorry. Just get used to that. Just get used to me just slightly freaking out because it's just like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to Karen Gillan. No, I'm not. But it is, yeah, you put a video out there, and I shared it tagging Rory, and it wasn't because of me. But it went a bit wild for you, didn't it? Because many people and many fan producers saw this.
Yeah. I would say about 13 or 14 people messaged me within like the time frame of when the video was popular, a few hours-ish. Yeah, we're all coming into my inbox like, hey, you sound great. Do you want to work this thing? And I was like, oh, it was very overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can't even relate. I literally, you know, just a reminder, I'm always available for podcasts and stuff. I look at my diary and there's just nothing there. Like a moth just flies out from it. Just nothing, lots of nothing. But yeah, no, yeah, I can imagine that must have been quite a crazy moment to be like, oh, okay. I guess other people think this is pretty good.
Very ego boosting though, and I always need more of an ego boost.
It's nice to have hype, isn't it? Yeah. It's nice to have people to hype you up. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. No, because I mean, like I say, when I saw that, I was like, well, I already know Ori's 13 is really good, and then you just switched, and I sometimes what I do, sometimes what I have to do is like I close my eyes and I listen to, you know, when someone's doing their impression, and I always feel like saying impression is kind of a dirty word, because I always feel like when someone is mimicking a voice, they then make the performance their own anyway. So saying it's just a impression is sort of not fair to that. So I closed my eyes, and when you were doing Karen's voice, I was like, oh, wow. This is very good. Are you good at any other ones?
Not good at any other ones. Not right. Good at any other ones that I've noticed. I suppose I can do Yaz by default, because she's just like the Doctor, but a bit lower and less of a gravel. But it's difficult because I've done the 13th Doctor for so long. But at Comic-Con, when Mandip was there, I was mimicking her accent back to her, and everybody around me was like, oh my God, it was spot on perfect. And I was like, I've just done the best 13th Doctor impression. And I was like, no, you did a Mandip. You Mandipped at her.
But I mean, that's, to be fair, that's something which I find that sometimes, that when I'm if I'm talking to someone and they've got a particular accent I'm interested in, or like a strong accent, I start like taking it on, and it's bad, because I mean, I'm English, but I live in Wales, and sometimes I come across very thick Welsh accents, and I really have to stop myself from going into it. Yeah. So I'm just like, because if they know I've been talking like this, and I start going a bit more like this, I'm gonna get myself into the trouble. I am, you know. I've got a Welsh wife, and she's always like, no, don't don't do that. So first of all, favorite Doctor, all of them, straight away. I love it, because I'm someone who loves them all. Yeah, I do have my favorites, but I could never do one of those, you know, I see people do like ranking lists on Twitter, and I'd be like, no, because they're all in S tier for me. They're all up there. It's just that I slightly gravitate towards others like that little bit more. But if you ask me another day, I'd be like, oh no, they're my favorite.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, I'd be like, you know, most of the time I'm like, oh yeah, David's my favorite. David's, you know, the 10th Doctor's my favorite. And then, oh, no, maybe it's Jodie today. And, no, maybe it's Peter Capaldi. And then, Davison's pretty good. And you know, Sylvester McCoy's great. And then I'm just having a verbal conversation with myself, and people are like, oh, what's this weirdo doing in the corner? Okay, cool. I love that. Okay. What about your villain then? Who's the villain that you would say or enemy that you like the most?
See, that's difficult as well, because how do you define favourite? Is it the one you relate to most? The scariest one? So let's do both.
Nice.
So the one I relate to, well, not really relate to, but love, is the Master. But I feel like it may be cheating to just say the Master. So Missy, or probably going to butcher his name as I always do, Dwan?
Sasha Dwan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dwan.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. I would say I like Missy a little bit more, but because she's bananas.
Two very respectable choices again there. Yeah, just I mean, Missy was my favorite for a long time as well, and Sasha absolutely blew me away with Power of the Doctor. And it's one of my claims to fame. I met him years ago before he was the Master, and I remember watching Spyfall going, Oh wow, Sasha's in this. That's awesome. He was really kind when I met him. I was a student at the time. I've told this story on here before, but I'll just do it anyway. I was a student at the time, met him at stage door, spoke to him for about half an hour. He was so kind and so welcoming and answered questions and really lovely. And then like 10 years later, he shows up in Doctor Who, my favorite show. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then, oh my God, he's the Master.
I know that one.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, I've met the Master.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, no, he wasn't cast the Master. I've met the Master. Yeah, that's very respectable. Love that a lot. Okay, Brill.
The scariest one, I would say Vashta Narada.
Mm.
Like, there's some pretty scary alien monsters in Doctor Who, but I would still say Vashta Narada just... Because what do you even do? Like, you can turn the light on. They can turn it off again. They're invisible. You can't see them. You can't run away. What can you do? Like, at least the Weeping Angels and stuff like that, you can see them.
Mm.
Silence, you can see them for a bit, but it's still more than you can see the Vashta Narada.
That's true, yes. Yeah, that's they are a very scary one. And it's funny how... Like, I don't know if you've caught any of them on Big Finish, for example, but they work very well as an audio villain, which is great, obviously, for that. But they do bring that menace and that sort of terrifying nature through, because it is, yeah, you're like, well, what am I going to do in this situation? I'm just, you know, unless you're literally the Doctor or the companion, you're probably not making it out alive, are you?
Just grab the nearest snack and try and have a nice little nibble before you die, I suppose. Try and hope there's some chocolate bickies around you.
Mm.
And at least you can go out eating a chocolate bicky.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's how I want to go. You know, that's how I want to go, you know, eating the chocolate cookie. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Custard cream too. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah. You know, I mean, whether it's the biscuit itself, maybe the biscuit could cause my death first. So it's like, oh, I die then. And it's not quite as painful as I imagine, as quick as it is from a Vash and the Rada swarm. As quick as it is, I'm sure it's still pretty painful, like in the moment, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Great, awesome, okay, cool. So yeah, like I said before, I've zero business being on TikTok the age I am. But when I found, I can't even remember what the first video is, so I'm so terrible. So with TikTok, it's such a, I know for example, you have to post. And I know people spend literally whole days making tons of videos and leaving in the drafts and then releasing, because it's an algorithm that you have to constantly keep feeding. Am I right with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Very fast moving platform. Everything's changing every single day. There's different trends, and you've got to, it basically forces you to be addicted to it as a content creator. So the watchers have to be addicted. You have to be addicted to it and watching it constantly to keep up with everything that's happening, which is probably not healthy.
I'll be honest, during lockdown, I got very addicted, and I did have to sort of do a couple of okay, I'm going to spend a month not going on TikTok whatsoever. And then I would go on TikTok and I would be like, what? Because there'd be trends or there'd be memes on there or something, which I just completely didn't understand because I hadn't kept up with it and I wasn't relevant with it. So yeah, I can only imagine. I did a few back in the day, trying to do a few like little Doctor Who ones and little book talk ones. And I just, I couldn't keep up with it. I really just, I honestly take my hat off to you to, you know. And it is as well, because, you know, whenever I come across one of your videos or one of Katie's, I instantly get like that little endorphin boost, and it always makes my day a bit, because I always smile, which is so lovely and so great. Because I mean, I go to TikTok for Doctor Who stuff quite a lot, and then just just funny Pedro Pascal memes, really. That's my that's like the two things I want from TikTok, you know?
There's a lot of them.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah. And there's a lot of good ones too, which I like as well. You know, I don't, because it's oversaturated, but I don't mind it as long as they're good, you know. So yeah, it makes my day to go on there and be like, oh yeah, there's Ori, and she's doing something great. And it's and I've said it before now, I've got three favorite 13th Doctors. I got Jodie, I got you, and I got Katie.
Thanks. That is very high praise.
Well, I mean it as well. And, you know, I've heard Katie in a couple of fan audios, and I'm sure I'm going to hear you in some 13th Doctor fan audios as well, at some point. Maybe. As well. But I won't press you for that, because I respect people. Awesome. Love
it. Anything okay, right. is possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with what, like 30 or however many it was creators that were emailing you, I'm certain.
I might have said yes to a few. Might have told them all to do one bog off. We never know.
Maybe.
Well, we will know one day. But not today.
Not today, no. Okay, awesome. Well, I tell you what, I think that seems like a lovely time for me to turn to the old hellscape that is Twitter. And Yay. We'll go to our first segment, which I like to call the Time Space Telegraph.
Doctor? Space Time Telegraph, Kate Gibbs. 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 Space Time Telegraph, Kate Gibbs.
So, for people that are listening for the first time, the Time Space Telegraph is where I do turn to Twitter. I put a tweet out asking people to send in their questions for Ori. I always do it for my guests, just because I think it's lovely to give people a opportunity to have questions from people, and for people to have the ability to ask that question. But also, I'm terrible at coming up questions myself. How on earth I got through an entire interview with Sophie Aldred, I still don't know, because God knows how I did that. I think Robin came up with the questions. Maybe it's what it was, and I don't know. Yeah, anyway. Right, turning to Twitter. First one comes from a mutual friend, Catherine Wheeler, friend of the show. And I did have to say about this, but I did say, I feel I expected more effort from you of all people, Catherine. Because Catherine's, or Kat's question is literally just, Ori!
Kat! Hi, Kat! Love you!
And I had to read it out, because it literally says, this is a question, by the way. So I'm not sure how...
Yeah.
I'm not sure how she's trying to, monopolise this podcast, but... joke's on you, Kat.
Why is she so aggressive?
Oh, I know. She really is. She really takes that Master Stanning to heart, doesn't she? Okay, oh, here we go. Okay, this is people, please have usernames that I can read easy, because I'm apparently I'm illiterate. So okay, this is from Docker the Tog brackets Foggy Hat Era at Docker the Tog says, next time we meet, can we have a pic together where we replicate this pose? And it's the picture of you that you sent me for. I think that, and you've already answered it saying sure, but like people, I love it, but these aren't the sort of questions I wanted for this. I wanted insightful questions and nice things, but I'm asking them anyway, because you've taken the time out of your day. But anyway, okay. Next one comes from Alex at the Chico Flint. When are we going to see the Amy Pond cosplay?
Oh, soon. Possibly very soon. Depending on when this comes out. Maybe nice. It's already happened.
The question is that if you do the cosplay, will you automatically just be speaking as Karen Gillan like all the time?
Oh, definitely. The whole way through. Absolutely.
Can you just say, I'm doing it, I'm breaking my rule. Can you just say, can you just say, time can be rewritten?
Oh God, that's pressure. Time can be rewritten.
Oh my God. That's so good. I can't believe it. Genuinely, it's
no one line, don't you dare. Pat Nuno, River Song.
It's tough for someone who can't do voices, but I appreciate and love the work of people like yourself that do it. It's like it's like when I listen to Big Finish, like Tim Treloar does a really great performance as the Third Doctor, but it's not spot on. It doesn't sound exactly like Pertwee.
Yeah.
But it hits those same sort of little like it's vocal cracks. It's the vibes. Yeah, yeah, it's totally the vibes. And I got the vibes from that river. I instantly was like, well, that's River Song. So, you know.
Take off your clothes. Don't.
I think that's the first time I've ever had a guest say that to me in the middle of a podcast. I will move on for both of our sake.
It's just my favourite river line.
It is a good line. And let's face it, River is a queen and she serves. So yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll take it. Natalia next at, oh my goodness. Though I'm going to butcher this. I'm so sorry. Anyway, favorite moment from the LFCC spring.
Oh, that was a while ago now.
Mm. Yeah, because full transparency, I did put this tweet out in March. It's currently the end of April. I am bad at organizing things, and burnout apparently hits me very quickly. So,
well, one of my favorite was just Nat in general, because we were both there. So just Nat's presence was obviously really good. And Kat's as well. Kat was also there, and everybody else.
Yes, yeah. And I will not hold it against you and Nat that you didn't come across the BFI, despite the fact I had been Sea Devil memeing so hard. I expected people to come and praise me for that, but no, Kat did, to be fair. So.
We all had, all three of us had like M&Ms with different people.
I messaged Kat straight away and I said, you are literally going to get yourself put on a list.
Like, I've had most of them now. I've got like three left in the bus. But yeah, I had Jodie Whittaker ones. Nat had, did she have Jodie ones or did they have?
I can't remember seeing what Nat had. I remember Kat obviously had Sasha because
Kat had Sasha. I think they had Jodie ones as well, but not 100%. It was a while ago now.
Let us know if we're wrong, Nat. Yeah. Please do, because I'm very interested. Because again, it's very sweet, but at the same time, I was like, please. I was saying to Kat, I was messaging to her, and I was like, part of me wants you to show Sasha, but the other part of me doesn't want you to, because I'm worried that you're going to get put on some sort of like weird list of people. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you are banned from seeing Sasha Devon ever again, because this is like stalker level now.
I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of good moments, and they're all to do with like the people that were there that made it a really good time as well. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Elizabeth Henstridge. Obviously, meeting the guests was good as well, but just the people as well. So I met, who did I meet on that one? I get them all mixed up now. I'll go to too many cons.
There's too many people as well. There's too many lovely people in this fandom.
Sasha and Mandip were there. And so I met both of them. Didn't say anything to Mandip, talked too much to Sasha, as you do. And then Alex, who is one of the who asked the previous question, I think, got me a Elizabeth Henstridge autograph, just tricked me, was like, I'm just going to go have a look at something, go to the toilet. And then he came back with it and I instantly just burst into tears.
That's lovely, that is. Of course, Elizabeth, we know from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. Big fan of that, were you back in the day then?
Yeah, still am, always. I mean, it was a show that really digs its heels into you and like holds on to you for life. It's a cultural experience.
I keep meaning to go back and do it, because I think I watched the first couple when they first came out and I was like, this is cool, this is Marvel, it's an offshoot little thing. And then I just didn't go back to it for some reason. I don't know why. So I'm sure it's all on Disney Plus. So I'll do a big binge sometime, you know. But yeah.
Definitely.
But I do, I respect that a lot though. And I think that's so lovely. That's just a lovely thing to do for someone. Like,
yeah.
Good on you, Alex. I like you a lot.
Thanks, Alex.
you've made me love you. You know what? Nat has asked another question as well now, saying, what's your dream guest lineup for the next con? That's a good question.
Jordy and I Whittaker. Will not.
No, really?
She's just really fun to talk to.
Mm.
And like with the other guests, you have to kind of do a bit of talking or they'll ask questions then you have to answer. But Jodie just talks constantly. Maybe not at the February one because it was very busy. She did not have much time to bring you, let alone do anything. Mm-hmm. But at the other two, she was just talking to everybody. It was brilliant. Alex Kingston. Reasons.
Yeah.
But she's obviously amazing.
Yeah.
Michelle Gomez. I'd like to see her again. That was just Amy Pond, wasn't it?
I love it.
I tried.
I love
it. Hello, I'm Doctor Who.
See, that was it.
Michelle Gomez.
That was it.
Yeah.
Do you find... I love it. I know other people that do voices. Like they have to find like a specific word or a phrase or a line. Do you ever find that where you have to have that as like your bridge, which then takes you into the voice?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like there's a few sentences and you're just like, right, like if I get the pronunciation of those sounds right, I've got it. But then it also leads you to kind of, for the accents that I don't have, it's just like, yeah, I'm really good at this accent that I can do one line from and that's it. Nothing else.
I know that. I feel like I can do a pretty... Well, no, it's terrible, but it's like slightly better than terrible. Like I can do a slightly terrible Capaldi, and the word I always use for that is... And I'm sure you can guess what the word is. It's Clara. Clara. Yeah, it's just like Clara is the word. I'm just like, that just takes me straight into like.
It's so, yeah. Good. It's brilliant.
It's not, but I like to pretend it's
it
good.
Is.
You can't say that when I'm sat here with someone who literally I could close my eyes and I could pretend I'm talking to Jodie Whittaker, Karen Gillan, or Michelle Gomez. Like you can't. You can't do that, Ori. Don't hype me up and give me false hope, all right? However, if you do want to hire me for 12th Doctor final audios, I'm available. Okay. Next one comes from Cara at Better Call Cara. Would you ever be interested... Oh, well, actually, we've already answered this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Would you ever be... This is why you read the questions before you start... speaking of people, would you ever be interested in playing 13 in fan productions or even real productions if you're lucky?
Oh yeah, definitely not. That wouldn't do that.
Nah, never.
Yes.
You know,
yeah very interested.
I mean, you never know. Nick Briggs might knock on your door one day. Or I imagine that's what he does. He doesn't send emails. He just knocks on people's doors, doesn't he? he has nothing better to do with his time than voice Daleks and knock on people's doors and say, come, work for Big Finish.
Well, Jodie Whittaker's now in her employed era. She's getting jobs left, right and centre. She's very busy, so, you know, I'm not busy.
You heard her, Nick.
Who sounds like exactly like Jodie Whittaker sometimes, you know.
You say sometimes, you literally. Oh, it's so good.
And also, Karen Gillan's really expensive now. She does quite a lot of stuff. So, you know, I'm not expensive. So, you know.
I mean, no, Ori. All right. Let me be your manager for a second in this now, okay? No, they need good Karen Gillan. They need good Jodie Whittaker. You can be a little bit expensive, all right?
Yes, I'm a little bit expensive, but less expensive than Karen Gillan. So you should hire me because I'm really good.
Yeah, straight up. Love it. Fantastic. Next one comes from Scouse. I met Matt Smith.
I love Scouse.
Scouse is at Fish Custard 11. I would expect nothing else from someone who I know loves Matt Smith. What is your best experience at a con? And then it also says, what is your worst? But I'm all for the positive. So if you don't want to say the worst, please don't feel you have to. You
know? I won't go into detail about the worst, but should we start with the worst and then go on to the best? Because I don't really want to.
Let's not dwell on that. You know, that's hype up and have fun.
So getting harassed, it doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. And it's not fun at all. So people really don't like the 13th Doctor. There's some people who really, really hate her to the point where they will police other people and say, you can't like her. And I've had people literally just come up to me and be like, so someone's like, are you dressed as Jodie Whittaker? And bearing in mind, this was at a con that Jodie was at. So there was about 100 people also dressed like the 13th Doctor. So I was like, yes, as is a lot of people here. And I was just like, I don't like her. And I was like, what do you say to that? Like, what do you say? And just like, I don't like her. Like, okay.
Like, nobody asked. Nobody asked.
I don't like her. I'm only here to add her to my list. Like,
what?
It's the photos and autographs are £75 each, and he's buying it just to add her to the list of doctors he's seen?
I don't know. There are some weird toxic people just in the world in general, and it always makes me wonder how you can be a person like that and call yourself a fan of Doctor Who when, let's face it, certainly the messages I've got from it and growing up and the morals I've learnt from watching Doctor Who are like, yeah, be the best of humanity, not someone like that. So
did you miss the bit about never be cruel, never be cowardly and all that, and not being
exactly.
I know I said I wouldn't go into detail about it, but I did.
It's fine because we can it's fine because we can roast them, because like, come on,
because I'm still like, mad about it because it's so stupid.
Well, it is stupid. How dare someone else come up and try and police your enjoyment of something else? Like, it always baffles me, because I'm gonna be honest, you know, when 13-0 was first airing, I was someone that wasn't a big fan of it, but I was never rubbing that at people's faces, because what gives me the right to be like, oh, you're not allowed to enjoy this, I'm not liking it, so you can't as well? No, I was like, hey, this bit isn't for me right now, but my God, I'm so happy that other people are loving it and enjoying it. And that's, you know, Doctor Who is art, as I like to say, it's art, and art is subjective. So we're allowed to all have different opinions. It's what makes us awesome as humans, that we have different opinions on things. Well, sometimes it makes us awesome, doesn't it? But yeah, but I'm preaching to the choir now anyway. Okay, let's go to best experience then, okay?
Oof. Part of the reason I want to do the bad one first is just to procrastinate so I could think of an answer. But I was too angry and going off at that guy that now.
It's fine. I can ramble for a bit more if you want me to, you know. In terms of, you know, and I'm obviously very upset that in your dream con lineup I wasn't you know, put there, as, you know, seeing as I am now officially going to be a MCM panel speaker, which I've not spoken about on here before. So yeah, if this goes out in time, probably won't, because I'm terrible with editing podcasts, but if you do hear this, I will be at MCM appearing on stage with the wonderful Josh Carr, the excellent Jack Reeves, and Jack from Nerd Den as well. It's I've made the joke that it's like the three doctors, but it's the three Jacks, and Josh is just Omega in that situation. So yeah, but we're going to be talking about Doctor Who. It's called 60 Years in the TARDIS, a Doctor Who community extravaganza, which we had a lot of fun coming up with that name. So yeah, if you are around, if you are available, come and hear us talk about the fandom and nice stuff. Lots of audience participation and fun. So yeah. Have you got a best one now, Ori? Have you had time to think?
So obviously I want to say meeting all the guests, but I feel like that's pretty obvious. And I don't want to say that I loved meeting sort of one guest more than another guest, because it feels wrong. It feels mean to them, because I love everybody that I've seen. I've never met someone who I was like, oh, they were a bit rude, they were awful. Like, everybody that I've met is just so kind and courteous and really tries to give people a lot of time and make their money worth it as well, I suppose. Make the fans happy, engage with them and find out what, you know, that it's not just a job, it has these positive effects on people. Meeting Sylvester McCoy was an absolute just sort of dream. He is so kind and quirky, and he's also, like Jody, he knows, you know, he's good at talking, because I get really nervous and I don't know what to say, and he's just like talking, and he's just, but I didn't expect him to say what he was going to say. I thought he was going to be like, wow, love your outfit, she's my favourite. And instead he was like, wow, you look so much like her. Oh my God, you could be her twin. You look so much like her, it's uncanny. And he just starts going off about how much I look like her and also how great my outfit is. But he was like, and she's my favourite, you know, she's my favourite. And it's like, I know, I'm chronically online. I know everything. I know everything you've ever said. I'm a weird stalker. So, that was a really, like, shocking moment, because then I really didn't know what to say. I was like, thanks, that's so kind. Thank you. Love you. I didn't say love you. Didn't confess my love to Sylvester McCoy. Don't worry about it.
I mean, you should have, because I should have
just gotten down on one knee.
I've been a long-suffering man living in Wales, because for all the Welsh cons there are, the main big Welsh con actually takes place in Telford, which isn't Wales, which I have my own issues with. You know, as lovely as I'm sure Telford's takeover is and what have you in Wales. But anyway, they've, this year, because there's, I hate to say it's that there's not been good guests. It's not that. It's that there haven't been guests I've been interested in so much. So certainly in recent years at conventions, like in Cardiff, I'd be lucky if I wanted to go and see maybe 38th Stormtrooper to the left in Star Wars or something. But, you know, I wanted a bit more bang for my buck, really. And they've just announced recently that a con in Newport, which is, I think it's called, now, there's Wales Comic Con, which is the one that takes place in Telford, and there's Comic Con Wales, which is happening in Newport, and that's the one I'm going to go to, because they've just announced that Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, and Paul McGann are all going, so I'm probably going to go and confess my love to all of them, and end up on a list, but, you know, it's fine, because I'll get my bit signed, and I'll have a cracking time, because I've only ever met two doctors in my life. And well, one of them was Peter Davison already, which was an amazing experience. And the other one was David Tennant at stage door. And that was literally just, hi, I love you. Oh, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to see the show. Did you have a good time? Have you come far? Yeah, I came from Exeter. Oh, that is quite far. And then gone.
What an experience, though.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah. Funny enough, it was the same. It was a trip that I went on for sixth form college. I say sixth form college, for the college. We were doing drama, and we went up to see him in Hamlet in Stratford, just to date myself. That's like 2008, 2009. So, yeah, we went to see, that's the trip I saw Sasha as well. We went to see Sasha in a play. Obviously, I didn't know Sasha was Sasha at that point, but it was, yeah. And then we saw him in that. And I told this story before, but the performance of Hammer ends. I loved it. It's amazing. And I'm walking out, and I'm on this college trip, and it's a residential, and we're out there, up there from Exeter. And I see a couple of people sort of running quickish out of the theater. And I go, well, they either know where the stage door is, or they're running for a bus or a train or something. So I'm either going to look really creepy and weird running after these people, or I'm going to find the stage door. Luckily, I found the stage door. I'm tall, so I was able to get my program to the front of the bars or what have you it was. And because it was mad. It was absolutely mad. It was like, because this was like, this is him just off the back of series 4. Like, I don't think he'd announced that he wasn't coming back for Series 5 at that point yet. So he was, it was like peak David Tennant hype. And got the autograph, literally was shaking with my program. Went back round and found like the entire group of like these, like these drama students from college as well, who were all just out the front, and they were like, "Jack, where have you been? We didn't know where you were." And I was like, and they're like, "Oh my," everyone's like freaking out. I take them all around to the stage door just as someone is coming out saying that Mr. Tennant has left the building. So I ended up being the only one on the trip that got an autograph, and the death stares I got the second this guy came out, and I was like, "I ain't giving you this. This is mine. So yeah, that's something which I have in my collection, which is like very, like that one's very sentimental to me, obviously, for the pain I endured for the day or so after that, where people were just giving me the stink eye, you know. Oh, lovely. Okay. That does bring us on to the very last question from this time-space visualizer now. And I'll be honest, I kind of take issue with this question. I do.
Ooh, but controversial.
It's controversial because I'm just like, come on. I'm absolutely going to butcher this. I'm just going to read the at. It's at RP Cole. And they say, "I don't know if I would have the time to listen to the podcast episode." And I'm like, okay, fair enough. That's fine. That's all right. All right. I'll take it. It's fine. In all honesty, I am here because Miss Ori pointed this out to me because I want to ask her, can you say "kablam that man" in Jodie's voice?
Like the whole thing. I should do the... Oh, it's the Kablam Man. I love the Kablam Man. Was that okay?
I mean, was my reaction not enough to... I know people won't have been able to hear it because I was literally speechless, but I was throwing my hands in the air. Like, every time you do it, I'm just like, ah! And it must be really boring for people listening because I am just going to be like, oh my God, he's like so great. So this is so cool. Oh, awesome. Well, I will say straight away now, that was spot on. Thank you for that. Thank you for all the questions. I'm sorry if I've been a bit salty with them this time. Not for you, Kat. You can try again. You can try harder. You're supposed to be a writer, for God's sake. But yeah, that's the time-space visualizer. So I guess we'll go on over to just us, me and Ori, having a little chat about our favorite 13th Doctor moments now. Now, people will know I've already spoken a little bit about this because we did a big sort of Jodie Whittaker exit podcast where we just preached the love for the 13th Doctor and for her performance. But I figured, you know, with Ori being on and being an amazing 13th Doctor in her own right, it only made sense to talk about our favourite 13th Doctor moments, really. So, you know, I mean, we could have done our favourite Amy Pond moments, but I felt like your brand is more tearing towards Jodie. I don't know why, you know, but
because it's the only cosplay I've got, that's why.
Hey, cosplay is expensive, and I respect all of you because I'm not doing it because I have a wife and kids and a mortgage, and I ain't being able to pay for that, and I probably look atrocious anyway. So I respect you all, I love you all, and hell, you all look amazing. So yeah,
thanks.
No, that's all right. Okay, yeah, so 13th Doctor, okay. I mean, where to start, really? Just because, again, it's funny for me because I feel like I'm one of those people that sometimes a Doctor takes a little while to click for me. Like, I think Matt Smith took a little bit to click for me, and then I went back and rewatched episodes, and I was like, wow, what did I miss? Like, why did I see this here? And Jodie definitely was one for me like that because... like, I wasn't enjoying Series 11 and Series 12, but I've spoken about it on here before and absolutely love it. That first video she put out during lockdown was the moment I went, oh, yeah, she is the Doctor. She is the Doctor. As I sat there, you know, let's face it, we're in a very different world 3 years later now, aren't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I thought the world was ending quite literally at that time. And I sat there on my kitchen floor, weeping, literally weeping, watching this video and going like, this is the most doctor thing ever to doctor. And that was that. It was from that moment on, I was like, yeah, Jodie is one of my favorites. And I went back and rewatched and I was like, oh yeah, okay, this, I can get in much more from this, if nothing else, from her performance, because she is just, she's infectious with her performance. And I feel like sometimes when there's an episode I don't quite enjoy as much, her performance can just bring me through it. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of something like Arachnids in the UK, for example. But when she's there going, Tiaz, is your Tiaz, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in, you know? So yeah. So that's for me, that lockdown video will always be one of those top moments I love. And I know people sometimes get a bit salty. It's like, oh, it's not on the actual show. No, it's canon, all right? It's canon. It happened. And it's beautiful. And you can't take away the emotion I felt then in that moment, where it was just, it was this character that I've loved for so long speaking to me directly, it felt like, and being like, everything's going to be okay. I was like, okay, this is, again, the most doctory thing to ever doctor. So,
yeah, it was the same for me, actually. Like, with all of these Jodies, like, for me, season 11, the first half of it, maybe, I can't remember exactly, it was years ago now, but it was a very slow start. And the episodes, I like some of them, I don't like others. Same with, like, every other, you know,
that's the thing. Yeah,
like, I like some, don't like others. But then, sort of, so around the same point, probably, I was just like, yeah, I love her now. She's my whole personality. I've just decided overnight. she's mine really? Now. I'm keeping her. Oh, this judge is all right, actually. She's not bad. I'll keep this one. It's all right. Yeah, the lockdown video was definitely, I feel like it was definitely like her idea, or she had some influence. So it's like, Chibbers, would you mind? I've got this idea for a video. Can I just like go hide in the closet and tell everyone they're going to be right? You know? And then she was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, you can do it. Why not?
You didn't say you could do Chris Chibnall as well. Oh my God, that's spot on. If anyone is up for Chris Chibnall in Found Audios, Ori is available.
Yeah, just all of her silly little moments where she's just eating dirt and saying, like, I made iced tea, possibly. This is just going to be an excuse for me to say all of the lines now.
That is exactly why I wanted to talk about this, but, you know, it's fine. I love
Apple Bobbin. That line itself, like, it's not, you know, it's not the line people might think of when you think about the best moments, but it's filled with such genuine joy that it's just embodied of, I love this, I love traveling, I love this, and it's just like, you know, it makes you go, oh God, I love Doctor Who.
Oh, totally. It is. And again, it's what we were talking about at the very top of the show. Is like, you know, it's that camp silly energy that I'm there for, because it's just, I watch it now and I just go, God, Jodie is literally having the time of her life.
Yeah.
Like, she is loving every second of this. She is just, and it makes me so sad as well, because I'm just like, can you imagine the performance if she'd have had K9? Like, can you imagine? The first day, they would have got no shooting done, because they would have just been like, Jodie is literally just shouting at the top of the lungs. It's a robot dog. Like, we've lost the whole day of shooting because we can't bring her back down. And then there would have just been an entire season, or like just an episode of her just losing it constantly, because she would have been just having the time of her life.
Oh my God, it's a robot dog. You never told me there was going to be a robot dog. Why do you think we did not tell you, Jordan? Why do you think you didn't know?
Like, literally, like, it would be like, I always think of, like, you know, Mandip, like, showed those, like, the pictures of her, like, when she turned up on, like, her birthday, and she'd be, like, in this amazing, like, just stupid outfit. Yeah, and it's like, it's that energy. You're just like, oh, this isn't just a normal person. This is someone who's a bit weird, and my God, they're perfect as the doctor.
The doctor's through and through.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was when the world needed it as well, when the world needed a bit of happiness, we got a feel-good, joyful doctor who kept the companions alive. Top that.
Take that, 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Take that, 12.
Clara. I'm sorry, Clara. yeah, that's true, yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of other top 13th Doctor moments to me. One I always come back to, the regeneration is probably one of my favourites, because it's so, not only is it visually just gorgeous, the whole performance of it as well is just, I find it so comforting, because she doesn't throw a hissy fit like 10. Mm. she's like, oh no. Oh.
Yeah.
Ah,
oh well.
Oh well. Yeah. You know, bye. There's that bittersweet of it. And it's just like, oh, yeah. It's just the lines of it are just so beautiful. Like, you know, and calling back obviously to Pertwee, the first, you know, with the Blossom is Blossom, and just
I love it.
Yeah, the whole sentiment of it is the whole sentiment of it as well. Just like, you know, it sums up Doctor Who so well. I felt, because it's just, you know, it is a show that is constantly evolving and changing, and it's something which maybe some people need to remember that a bit more, because it is.
Yeah.
The whole point is that it carries on. It's not just one person. It's not just one Doctor. It's infinite doctors, you know. And it should be a doctor of every race, every gender, every, you know, that's what we should be seeing in the future now, not just 12 white men again.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so it's, you know, I love that sentiment of doctor, whoever I'm about to be, tag, you're it. And then I do laugh as well, just because I imagine, and I think I've heard it happen as well, was that Jodie was like hyping herself up, ready to get a call from like the whoever they cast as the next doctor. And like, they were like, oh, by the way, the next doctor is going to ring you for advice. And then bloody David Tennant comes up.
I swear I've read an interview on this.
Yeah.
Something like this.
I swear it happened. And I would just love to have been in the room, because I mean, it's Jodie, and just her reaction to it would have just been, she's someone who I feel like that she should constantly have a camera on her, because no matter what, there's just going to be gold, no matter what she does.
Yeah, I've said it before, like, Mandip and Jodie needed to start a podcast. Like, they did panel together, I think, at the February, pretty sure it was at the February one, and it was just the best thing I've ever seen in my whole life, and I want to bottle it, and I want to have it weekly. You know, I want them to have a weekly podcast and just watch them. They'd be so good. They've got such chemistry, and they're both hilarious. Be really good.
I would eat that up. I mean, I'll be honest. I'd hang up the podcasting, like, you know, the microphone, because I just be like, well, there's no point doing that, doing a Doctor Who podcast, because everyone's going to be listening to this, because it's just, and rightly so as well, I must say, because my God, if tomorrow we got the news that Jodie Whittaker and Mandip Gill were doing a podcast, I would, I mean, first of all, I'd be knocking on your door, you know, burning you at the stake for being a witch, for predicting it. But then I'd be like, oh, actually, Ori made this happen. You're quite all right. Yeah. I'll leave you to it. But yeah, love it.
I did it in the TARDIS. I went to go, you know, change things, make it happen.
Just popped in TARDIS. Yeah.
Just popped in TARDIS, change a little bit of history. Hope it doesn't cause any paradoxes or anything like that.
How can you slip into it so seamlessly like that? I'm just, again, I sit here and I'm just, I love it. I really do.
I've just done it so much constantly for like just for all the videos and the TikTok lives and stuff that it just sort of, you know, just goes right into it. And then I can also switch pretty quickly to Karen Gillan as well. It's a good party trick, isn't it?
It is, because they seem like they should be, like, they're such different voices that it feels like it should take a leap to do it. But you do, because again, I've seen it on TikTok lives as well, where you do seamlessly go from one into the other. And I'm just like imagining the conversation between Amy and 13, which I know you've done a video on before as well. But I'm just like, this is crazy. I always, you know, again, I take my hat off to people like yourself that can do voices, because it blows me away. You know, do you know what? I just remembered I was on a Twitter space with you one time, and it was like you and Josh, who does an amazing Sasha Dewan as well, was there. And it felt like it was you and a bunch of other people that do voices. And I was like, I can't even speak here, because I can't do anything. And I just sat
you
back.
You can do
like,
Capaldi.
I can't, but it's very sweet of you to say. Very sweet of you to say, Ori. I appreciate that. Go, what else? Do you know what? I always come back to the one of the first moments that sort of was like, I was like, okay, I can see what's going for here is the love speech in Demons of the Punjab, which Jodie gives as the wedding, because it's just, I mean, not only is it just beautiful, the speech itself, just the words in it, but her delivery of it as well is so wonderful, because Jodie as a doctor is love in so many forms, but then she's so in her performance as well. It's so funny, because I feel like, and it's very much me headcanoning it now, but I feel like the hashtag Phasmin is canon. I feel like the love or affection she has for Yaz sort of takes her by surprise, which I like in a way as well. But it's so funny, because I feel like it more and more that her character just sort of by coincidence comes back to 12's final words. You know, about be kind, you know, hate is always foolish, love is always kind, or love is always wise. And just like, that's the 13th Doctor right there. Okay. You know what always stood out to me in series 11 as well is It Takes You Away is one which I always, like on first watch, I loved that straight away. And that was like, oh, this is an amazing episode. And this is when they really, the fam, become a family in that episode, I'd say. It's beautiful. It really is. And just, I have to admit, I was one of those people that at the end of the episode, I was like, the frog should have been River. and then I was like, no,
it was going, and then there.
Yeah,
and then it didn't.
Yeah. But then at the same time, the frog makes more sense in that. And it's like, with the whole thing that they were doing there, it's like they were doing a whole new, you know, they're trying to tell new stories for new people, and it made more sense in that moment. And I said that now, because I've gone back and rewatched it, and I love that episode. I would, if Power of the Doctor hadn't come along, I would have been like, that's my favorite 13th Doctor episode. But, and I think technically I would say it's a better episode than Power of the Doctor, but then Power of the Doctor. I'm going to get your read on this now, Ori. Okay. Power of the Doctor is messy. Okay. It's a messy story. However, it is too much fun to poke it apart. It's too much fun. So if anyone's ever nitpicking Power of the Doctor, I will always come in there and be like, leave it alone. It's too much fun. And I can't take away from the enjoyment I felt that night watching it, because it was just a roller coaster. The amount of times I got out of my seat and literally was like jumping up and punching the air and stuff. Yeah. I wish my wife had recorded it. I've said that before, because it was just me just losing it over and over.
I was like, I usually do like some sort of a reaction video. I did not with Power of the Doctor. I was traumatized from like start to finish about losing her. And I've never watched it since. I only watched it the once. Cannot go through that again. Oh, but yeah, I see what you mean. But like, why pick any episode through to this?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, people will and still do, but it's not something I like to do. I don't like to be, because someone's like, oh, what do you think of, you know, this bit is this and that. It's like, can you not just enjoy it?
People who
do these deep dives, hours and hours long video into deep dives of like the episodes, saying second by second which second they liked, which second they didn't like, and it's like, do you even like the show? Do you even like the show anymore?
Sometimes I feel like they like taking it apart more than, you know. And I say this as someone who reviews episodes on here as well. It's sometimes people enjoy picking it apart more than, like, you know, like I'm going to say now, Legend of the Sea Devils. I love it. I do. Straight. I love that episode so much. I really do, because it's just pure fun.
Yeah.
It's just such a fun episode. And like, I mean, the Yaz and 13 scenes in it are without a doubt the best part of it.
Definitely.
And I would say that final scene of them both on the beach is probably my favorite in the entire era.
Yeah.
Straight away, it's just how it's written, how it's performed. It's just beautiful. It really is. And I will never forgive them for the absolute gut punch of, you know, like, you know, I wish this could last forever. Cutting straight into the trailer. Nothing lasts forever. Oh,
yeah.
Like whoever the editor was that did that. Like, seriously, like, lock your doors because I am coming for you. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, yeah, I do. I love Sea Devils. I really do. I love the sea. No, I don't. Oh, I can't be caught. I can't be caught saying I love Sea Devils after all the bloody edits I did, because I'm.
Oh,
people think I'm the Sea Devil guy now, Ori. And I'm like, no, I was just trying to get tickets to the BFI for people. I'm not the Sea Devil guy, but that's how people see me now, which is. Like, I do have a part.
Sea Devil, new ship just dropped.
Oh no, no.
Yeah, there's going to be dramatic edits of you like turning around and a Sea Devil there and gazing at you and all sorts. Started something now.
Oh, I have. I know it's happening. You know, I'm like, I do a Duck Tube podcast, and they're just like, yeah, we don't care. You're a Sea Devil guy. You like,
you're the Sea
I'm
Devil.
Like, no, I'm not. God damn it. And please, they're friends. Can't we call them Sea Friends? Sea Devils is a slur, surely. You know. What are your thoughts on the Legend of the Sea Devils?
Oh God. The plot, I don't understand, but that's not because the plot is difficult to understand. That's because I'm stupid.
Already, my favourite review of an episode ever. So please continue.
Yeah. The music was very loud. That was that was just something that I noticed. That just, I don't know, when I think back to it, it's just what I think of, that the music was very loud. I liked the setup of it. Chibnall's very good at setting stuff up, the build-up of stuff. I haven't seen it in a while as well. But I just remember watching it like twice in a row and being like, which ship is that? What's going there? What's going on now?
Do you know what?
Call it method acting for 13, because I don't know, because I'm a bit, you know.
Yeah. I
not
always
very good
say
at observing.
It is a bit of an incoherent mess in parts, and but, there are editing issues, and yeah, the music's too loud at times, and there's weird ADR, and you have the weird Mario jump Sea Devil at some point as well.
Yeah.
But I've always said, if they ever gave me a version where they fixed all that,
Yeah,
I would not. I would. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like it, Ori, because I feel like it wouldn't be. I feel like it would just be a episode. Whereas with that, I'm having too much fun and enjoying it because it's just, you know, like if they gave me the cut where I didn't have the Mario jump, I'd be like, oh, that's a bit. You know, with it there, I laughed so hard, you know, because it was just so ridiculous and so brilliant. And like, that's what I want from Doctor Who. I want it to make me laugh as well. I want it to make me think. I want it to make me laugh. I want it to make me cry as well, you know. And it certainly did that too, you know, towards that final scene. So, yeah.
I did like the Mario jump. They definitely should have, like, in this hypothetical scenario, they definitely should keep that. But just maybe a little bit more tying of stuff together and lower the music a tiny bit. And then, you know, then it'd be fun.
Take notes, Russell.
But, like, do not change something, anything about Thasmin under fear of death, because all of it was spot on, perfect, brilliant, just everything about it.
It's, you know, that I'm a straight white man. And, you know, I'm by no means the demographic for that, but to see it and see it represented made me so happy for everyone that sees themselves and that. And that's what Doctor Who is. I mean, Doctor Who should always be very, very gay. I'm just saying that now.
Definitely.
And 100%. Hey, it looks like Series 14 is going to be just that. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Like all the people saying, oh, we need to get rid of the wokeness in Doctor Who, referring to, you know, the LGBTQ characters and representation and stuff like that. And it's like, Doctor Who has always been gay as hell.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
will continue to be gay as hell forever.
I like, watch Hartnell in the Romans, because he straight up is giving proper vibes at one bit. And I'm just like, come on. It's always, it's always been woke.
Always.
Like, it's just, let's face it, the people that say that are the people that get upset because they see themselves in the Daleks, you know?
Yeah.
Let's face it. They are, because, yeah, that's what it is. Right, yeah. So well, I've said my favorite 13th Doctor moment being that final beach scene. Do you have a favourite, or is it too difficult to pick, like, your favourite Doctor?
It's... because it's not just one scene that makes me, like, love her. It's all of it. So it's just too difficult, because it's all That's of them fair. Together collectively that make me absolutely love 13. Like, she's definitely the one I relate to the most, because I'm also bonkers.
Yeah, and we love you for it. Yeah. We do as well, you know. And it's just so lovely to see. It is as well, because it is that bonkers energy that makes so much sense for the Doctor. It really does, you know. I'm not going to get into it because I'm never going to give space to people that are like saying terrible things about certain decisions. But yeah, anyway, let's move on from that. Well, I think I've said my favourite. You can't pick a favourite. I feel like...
I can't pick anything. I'm very indecisive.
No, I think that's absolutely valid, honestly, because it's just, you know, I think you have a very similar outlook to Doctor Who as me. It's just Doctor Who. Let's just enjoy it, you know?
Can you imagine fans that actually enjoy Doctor Who?
Yeah, I know.
Revelation.
Like, straight up, I had a long-standing joke about how much I hated dinosaurs in a spaceship, right? I had a big joke about that and I detested it. I rewatched it one day last year and I don't know if you had saw it, but I literally put out a statement as if I was like spilling tea or like there was drama. And I literally just put like a statement on the drama also. And I put a big thing saying like how much I really enjoyed it and how wrong I was. And then I had friends. I had Josh Carr, I had Joel Poulier who coming for me, just calling me a fraud.
Just like addressing the drama longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it was Joel that said, I just can't get behind a man that has no integrity. So yeah, if someone said to me, what's your least favorite episode of Doctor Who, I couldn't tell you, because even the episodes I don't enjoy, there's always one little thing I find in it that I still that saves it for me. You know, I feel like the cardinal sin of any Doctor Who episode is that it could be boring, but there's always something, you know, there's always one little moment that I can hang on to and be like, oh, that's actually pretty good.
The way he breathes in this one scene.
Classic. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's face it, Tom really saved a creature from the pit with I need to stop mentioning creature from the pit on this podcast. Oh my god, what am I doing? It's getting late, that's what it is. I think it's apt that I finish on a creature from the pit there, because I think we come to a very natural end to the podcast here, Laurie. I've absolutely loved this, talking to you. I really have. It's just, it's you know, when you chat to someone on Twitter or on TikTok or something, and then you actually properly chat to them and you still click, it's like, oh, thank God, you know? Yeah. So yeah. I've absolutely enjoyed this. I've absolutely loved this. And I tell you what, before I let you go, I'm going to take you over to our final segment I like to end every podcast with, where I spill the canon tea, if you will, and I take everyone over to Canon Busters.
Oh, I'm having a neural implosion.
What do you need?
I need
to say it. Tell me. Painkillers. Do you need aspirin? Codeine. Paracetamol. I don't know. Pepto-Bismol. Liquid paraffin. Vitamin C. Vitamin D. Vitamin E. Easy food. Something simple. Bowl of soup. Nice bowl of soup. Soup and a sandwich. Oh, soup and a little ham sandwich.
I need you to shut up.
Changed that much.
Now, to anyone that is listening for the first time, a cannon buster, as I like to call it, is literally where I take a random fact from the entirety of Doctor Who's canon, as if we're going to view it as a canon, as in everything has happened or everything has to fit in together, which, let's face it, is very difficult. I like to pick out a little crazy nugget that we have to then view as being as canon as an episode itself. Previous segments have been including the fact that there are technically three doctors at the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in Pompeii. And two of them are the seventh doctor. There are two versions of the seventh doctor there.
Twice.
Yeah. We've also talked about the sex lives of Santarans, which is less said about that, the better. And I'm going to come to you today, Ori, with the story of a 13th Doctor adventure that you might not have heard of. It's one that you wouldn't have seen on TV, but it's a mad historical. It really is. It's an absolutely mad historical.
I've got a few ideas what it could be already. This is just like a chronically online test more than anything.
That's what it is, yeah. I'll be honest, there was one where there was like a kid's book, which is somehow canon apparently by the Day of the Doctor novelization, which I was going to bring up. But instead, I want to bring up a story called The White Dragon.
Not ringing any bells so far.
Okay. So this story features the 13th Doctor, Graham, Ryan Sinclair and Yasmin Khan. So, you know, the original fam in Hong Kong in 1972. And like I say, it's a historical adventure from the pages of a Doctor Who magazine. And it features the 13th Doctor teaming up with Kung Fu and acting legend Bruce Lee.
Ah, have not heard of this, no.
And the picture that TARDIS Wiki choose to use is literally Bruce Lee and the 13th Doctor both like kicking Kung Fu style, obviously 13 using from Venetian Aikido, to knock out a couple thugs. So yeah, that's a thing. The story starts in Hong Kong 1940 and ends up 32 years later when the 13th Doctor and the fam arrive and then eventually meet up, like I say, with Bruce Lee, which is just crazy.
Just Doctor Who in it.
Yeah, I mean, I just like that story is just so, it's so strange to think of, you know, I mean, I'd love to see it on TV, but my goodness.
100%. And behind the scenes as well. I'm Julie, I mean, just shouting to Bruce Lee.
Oh my God. Like, we didn't see enough of 13 using Venetia and Aikido. We didn't. Because I wanted to see Jodie straight up just going full Pertwee and taking out an army of sea friends. You know?
Or attacking Dan for cock blocking her that one time.
Yes.
He made up for absolutely. It by the end, but I'm sure she still holds a grudge.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, I mean, sometimes I was like, what is Dan doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest. Slight tangent again. I think I would have preferred it if series 13 had been just 13 Yaz and K9, you know,
like him, but I also agree.
Yeah. Cause I would have loved it to have been two girlfriends and their pet just rolling through space. That would have been everything to me, you know?
Domestic bliss.
Oh, it just would have been everything. Yeah, but yeah, no, I do like Dan. He's like one of the best people ever, but still.
Bit evil though, bit sus.
Yeah, evil, bit sus, definitely, yes, you know. What's the point in being alive?
What's the point in being alive if it's not to make others die? New accent just dropped.
Oh no, evil Dan has infiltrated the podcast. No!
I wish they did actually make him evil. Because that would just be absolutely fantastic that they saw all the memes and were like, we've got to make Dan evil now.
Oh, see, I'm a big fan of that idea. I've said for years I would love to have, like, the reveal at the end of a series be that the big bad is an ex-companion or has been the companion of the series or something like that. But... I don't know if you know them, but Ben, who's the Vacuum of Comments, who does some amazing Doctor Who YouTube videos. We came up with a stupid joke that the end of a series, the big villain to be revealed would be Mike Yates from the Unit. It's just like this big end game scheme to take down the Doctor, and it's like Sergeant Benton and Mike Yates are actually the villains, and the Doctor's too embarrassed to admit that he knows them. So yeah, that's our plan for a story, and then the idea, I think the idea was that it'd be the third Doctor, and he'd then have to go back to Unit and see them as they're like their younger selves and be like, maybe we'll write that story one day, maybe not.
You should.
I just think we should, you know, Doctor Who should be a toy box, shouldn't it? And why shouldn't we just tell the most random stories in it? You know? Ori, this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been, like I say, an absolute pleasure. And I've just had a great time just laughing with you, really.
Just a bit of banter.
Yeah. Before you go, and I will give you a chance to plug stuff and what have you, can I ask a really big favor? Absolutely massive favor.
Go ahead.
Could you do your Jodie voice? And as much as I'd love to just, you know, have you just say, you know, words of affirmation to me and say like, oh no, this is the best, you're doing a great job, this is an amazing podcast, you know, you're a lovely human. Would you please, just for me, say, hi, I'm the Doctor, and you're listening to An Awful Lot of Running.
Hi, I'm the Doctor, and you're listening to An Awful Lot of Running.
I'm going to clip that, if that's right, because my God.
That's perfectly fine.
That was, oh my goodness, that was, oh, amazing. It was like it was coming out of Jodie's mouth, and I'm just like...
capable of the most incredible change. You can evolve while staying true to yourself. I don't know, is that the right order? We can honor who we've been. Which order is it?
I can't even think myself now.
Yeah. No, I think it's about, I think I had it right the first place.
Yeah, you did.
We are
I think
all capable
you did.
Of the most incredible change. We can evolve while staying true to who we are. We can honour who we've been and we can choose who we want to be next.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to plug, Ori, this is your time to do that now.
Well, it's pretty easy because everything is all under the same name. It is just A Little Ori everywhere.
That's so good, yeah, that is.
Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Wattpad. Don't follow me on Wattpad. Don't follow me on Wattpad. There's no there. I don't know.
Yeah, love it. And Ko-fi as well. Please, if you are able to, please go and throw Ori some money. Please do, because if there's one thing I want to see, it's Ori and Katie at Gallifrey One together. So please make this happen for me. And Ori, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, like I say, absolute pleasure, Ori. Thank you so much for coming on. I have been Jack. My guest has been Ori. This has been an awful lot of running a Doctor Who podcast. Ta-ra for now. Thank you for listening to an awful lot of running a Doctor Who podcast. And thank you to Hudson Music for our wonderful intro and outro. You can find an awful lot of running, as well as myself, Jack and Robin, over on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as well. So please go and give us a follow. And if you can, give us a rate, a follow, review, subscribe, whatever you can do over wherever you're listening to this, because it really does help us out. And if you fancy it, donate to our Ko-fi page to help us keep the lights on, which there's no obligation whatsoever, but we'd really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Ta-ra for now.